Good evening and welcome to the Astoria City Council meeting of April 4th, 2016. Call to order, Mr. Cronin.
Councilor Ludwig.
Here.
Councilor
Hertzog. Here.
Councilor Warr.
Here.
Councilor Price.
Here.
Mayor Lemire.
Here.
That was the lightning round.
reports of councilors. Councilor Warr?
I have no report.
Okay. Councilor Price?
Let's see. Well, we just heard from Parks and Recreation in the last 3 weeks. I hope you will like this, Councilor Warr.
I don't like anything.
Okay, then whatever you say will go right over my head. Okay. I've been going out to the cemetery because it comes up from time to time about how it's maintained and whether it's maintained enough or not. And I have to say, I think it's beautiful. I really do. I was just there as Saturday was the last time I was there. And I could pick on only one little thing, which is that there are these blue plastic garbage cans. And if it were my cemetery, I'd build a nice little cedar thing and throw the blue plastic garbage can inside the nice little cedar thing. But otherwise, it was so beautiful. And it's not forest lawn. It doesn't look like the, you know, the ninth green. It looks like it is of Astoria. It looks very European in character. I think it's lovely, and so I just wanted to, are they here? I just wanted to say thank you. I think you're doing really a stellar job with the staff that you have, and I really could have just not seen anything to complain about, and I think we can just maybe speak more highly of it ourselves, and people will appreciate it more.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilor Herzig.
Thank you, Mayor. News from the Astoria Warming Center. We started our shower program. We're going to be opening the Warming Center for showers one day a week for men. That's Thursdays from 1 to 3 p.m. and one day a week for women, Fridays from 1 to 3 p.m. So we started it this last week, and we're hoping to run it through. The church has given us permission to open the shower and to do some limited laundry service. And at least on the men's day, it was very popular. We had 5 people come to do showers and do some laundry, so it's a public service. Not to preempt the mayor, but we all attended a city-county meeting recently, which was the first, you may have read about it in the paper, a first for the city and the county, initiated by Cannon Beach Mayor Sam Stidell or coordinated by the interim county manager, Rich Mays, who is very interesting. It was broad but not deep, but we touched on a lot of important issues and all agreed that we've got serious issues with traffic, with affordable housing, with emergency preparedness, with mental health, all sorts of stuff. So it was a start, but it was a really, it was nice to see so many cities coming together and sharing our concerns. And then finally, speaking of sharing concerns, our federal representative, Suzanne Bonamici, is going to be here on Saturday at 3:30 at the Senior Center. And I hope people will come. And Suzanne Bonamici has done a lot coming out to Clatsop County on a pretty regular basis. So this is one of her appearances. And I hope people will pay attention and be there. So that's this Saturday at 3:30. And if you haven't been to the new Senior Center, the new Revised Senior Center, this is a great chance to come and check it out. So Saturday at 3:30. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Councilor Nemela.
Well, back to the parks master planning process. There was a meeting last week, and I believe that we're taking a really objective look at our core services so that we can ultimately be able to run more efficiently. One thing that we discussed last week was daycare, whether or not that should be a service in the future of the City of Astoria Parks and Rec. It's something that has ranked highly in our surveys and is important to the community, but whether or not that is a core service when compared to the Aquatic Center is something that we discussed frankly. And so I appreciate the objective look. And again, I think we're going to get a good product from our Parks Master Plan, one that will make Parks and Rec more efficient. The city and county meeting was really interesting. I brought up the idea of a bypass and got sort of a warm reception to the idea of other cities in the county potentially partnering with us and maybe looking into the possibility of creating a gas tax to help come up with a portion of the funding to see if that would get ODOT's attention. Anyway, I don't know if that would work, but it's neat to see that there's sort of a shared interest in a bypass to ease the gridlock on everyone. It seems to me like it would enhance resiliency if a bypass were built properly in a natural disaster. It would be good for the economy and good for livability. Let's see. What else happened last week? Oh, yeah, Waterfront Bridges open house. I really want to commend engineering staff for running a great meeting, and there are a lot of business owners that will be affected along the waterfront who came to that meeting. Their access to their businesses is going to be shut off for up to 6 months, at least a portion of their access, and so it's a serious issue, but I feel as though city staff are doing their best to work with the business owners, but it's not an issue that should be taken lightly, and I believe if we have any room at all in a PR budget for the project, it would be really great to help get the word out, as we've done in the past, but maybe more so in this case, given the access constraints that those specific businesses are open during the time of construction. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just like to reiterate that the city-county meeting was a great one. We all know that affordable housing, homelessness, transportation, these are all statewide issues, not just Clatsop County. But it was really refreshing to be able to have an opportunity to talk with people from around the county. What are they doing? What could we do together? So I'm hopeful that this may be the start of something, a real partnership, I hope. So with that, do we have any changes to the agenda?
No changes.
Okay. We have a couple of proclamations this week, and I'll read the first one. This is for Child Abuse Prevention Month. Whereas every child is precious and deserves to grow up in a healthy, safe, nurturing environment free from the dangers and harmful effects of child abuse and neglect, and whereas child abuse and neglect impacts our entire society and can cause traumatic psychological, emotional, and physical harm, resulting in long-term economic and societal costs, and whereas child-focused prevention and intervention programs offer positive alternatives and outcomes for children and encourage families to develop strong, durable ties to their communities, and whereas child abuse prevention succeeds through partnerships among parents, child welfare agencies, mental and physical health care providers, schools, law enforcement agencies, churches, businesses, and community members by fostering loving, supportive, and violence-free homes. And whereas all citizens need to be more aware of the effects of child abuse, neglect, and prevention in order to encourage healthy parenting in healthy communities. Now, therefore, I, Arlene Lemire, Mayor of Astoria, do hereby proclaim April 2016 as Child Abuse Prevention Month. Is there anyone here from either CASA or one of the groups? Okay. We'll be sure and make sure this gets to them. I did want to mention that starting on April 11th, they're going to be planting pinwheels down in the triangular area down by
15th Street?
Yeah.
14th Street.
Yes. And I was trying to think, Custard King.
Okay.
Went out of my mind. But at any rate, down near there, and we've had this done a couple of years ago, I believe, but nobody quite knew what the pinwheels were doing. So the pinwheels are to remind us that of the children that are unfortunately being abused and neglected, and to think about them when you see the pinwheels turning. And we have a second proclamation. This is for public safety How come you made it so hard to say?
Telecommuters
Week. Okay. Whereas over, it's in here about six times too. Whereas over 850 dedicated telecommunications professionals serve the citizens and visitors in Oregon night and day, answering their requests for law enforcement, fire, and emergency medical services, and dispatching the appropriate assistance. And whereas the professional public safety telecommunicator is a vital link between citizens, victims, and public safety providers who may apprehend criminals, save possessions from fire, or save lives, and are the true first responders that show dedication every day with professionalism and commitment to the public safety community and the citizens they serve. And whereas the critical functions performed by professional telecommunicators also includes those related to forestry and conservation operations, highway safety and maintenance activities, and many other operations performed by federal, state, and local government agencies. And whereas the Association of Public Safety Communications Officials and Organizations with nearly 10,000 people from the United States and Canada have set aside the second week in April to recognize telecommunicators and their crucial role in the protection of life and property. Now, therefore, I, Arlene Lemire, Mayor of the City of Astoria, Oregon, do hereby proclaim April 10th through 16th, 2016, to be Public Safety Telecommuters Week in Astoria in honor of the men and women whose diligence and professionalism keep our citizens safe. And I'll present this to the police chief, I believe.
Madam Mayor, I forgot to mention that April is also Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and you may have noticed after dark that the Astoria Column is going to be lit teal for the month to, as part of Sexual Assault Awareness. That's a collaboration between Astoria Parks and Rec, the Friends of the Column, the Harbor, and the County's Domestic Violence Council, so it's a nice observance there. We were trying to put a giant pinwheel on top of the column, but it just didn't work out. Maybe next year we'll get on that, so thank you, Mayor.
Okay. The next section of our agenda is the consent calendar, and this is items that are considered routine and will just be approved with one motion unless someone has asked for an item to be removed. Has any member of the community asked for an item to be removed?
There have been no requests.
Any item council wishes to remove?
6B1, please.
B1?
Yes.
And there wasn't a B2, interesting.
Okay. Could we have a motion then to approve items 6A, B, no, A, C, and D, I guess.
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay. Let's see. Chief Ames, could we have a roll call?
Councilor Price.
Aye.
Councilor Nemelwell.
Aye.
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 Aye. Thank you.
I'm never first.
Okay, and you asked to have the library board meeting?
Yes. I see Mr. Ozer in the audience. Are there any other members of the library board here tonight? I just wanted to say that I read the minutes with interest and saw that the library board wants to insert itself more in the process of assisting in the decision-making of finding a new site for the library or expanding the current library, and also in conveying the need to the community. And I want you to know that I read that, and I appreciate what you do. And I look forward to hearing your ideas.
Okay. We'll go into our rate.
Right, and just to clarify, no separate motion is needed, and though these minutes are for the council's information.
Okay. We'll now go into our regular agenda. The first item is the Astoria Senior Center renovation completion.
So the Astoria Senior Center project has recently been completed, and this project was funded with community development block grant funds from the Oregon Business Development Department. There is the need to hold a public hearing by the Astoria City Council to obtain citizen views about the project and to take comments about the local government's performance in completing this project. And again, this hearing is required to close out the grant for the senior center. I do want to note that in the back row, we have Larry Miller, who is the director of the senior center, and we also have Mary MacArthur, who has been our grant manager on behalf of the city throughout this entire project. And we also have John Ryan, who was involved directly in the construction of the project from the beginning. John is retired out of the construction business and provided, I know, quite a bit of guidance to the senior center as they went through the architectural design process and through the construction of the senior center itself. So I wanted to make sure that those folks were recognized. Tonight there is no vote required by the city council, but it's just necessary to be able to have a public hearing to gain public comment.
Okay, so we'll open the public hearing. If there's anyone who'd like to talk about the senior center.
My name is Frank Spence. I live at 5169 Birch in Astoria. I am a senior citizen and a member of the Senior Center. At this point, I'm also president of a group called Encore, which is a group sponsored by the Clatsop Community College for the continuing education of our senior citizens. With the help of these members, we have some overlapping membership, both in Encore. John is a member. Most of these people are the members. But we want to express our satisfaction about the outcome in view of the fact that the bids came in more than the $1.5 million grant. The city is to be complimented on starting the grant process. I don't know if you know it, I think this has been going on for almost 3 years in the previous administration and council, but due to unanticipated problems that the staff was able to overcome and the delays, and when the bids came in at $1.8 million, staff did a fine job in reducing it to a level that you still have an excellent product at the end, which is the top floor. And the final contract for construction was around $4.95 million. So with the cutback, we have an excellent facility. The Senior Center was faced with is that the $1.5 million could only be used for construction. Encore, which is an acronym for exploring new concepts of retirement education, agreed to expend over $8,000 in equipping the classroom at the Senior Center. This includes participating in the 75-inch television screen, a separate screen, whiteboards, podium, and we have a fine, outstanding facility for continuing classes. We are even going to encroach into the dining area after the senior meal program finishes at 1:30. And so we will have maps and a whiteboard in the other side. So it is a wonderful facility. It's clean, it's airy. If you haven't seen it, it's fantastic. They removed the blockage along the east side of the building and there were windows there that nobody knew about. So it lets in a lot of air, and I can only hope that we look at this as being phase one. In order to cut back and reduce the amount of project that could be funded with available funds, the basement was cut out. So all of the big expenditures have already been made on a new roof and architectural and engineering fees. So the only big expenditure is going to be the elevator. So I hope on the next round of community development block grant funds, we go after those, finish the basement. We have more classrooms, more event rooms in the basement, and it's certainly a great asset for this city to have.
Thank you, Frank. Anyone else? Well, I think the folks in the back row should stand up. They have worked so hard, and John Ryan is also the current president of the Senior Center. So maybe the three of you stand up, and Al Jakes in absentia. Thank you. Okay, our second item is...
I think we need to close the public hearing.
Oh, okay. I'll close the public hearing.
Madam Mayor, I realize this was required to close out the funded project kind of thing, but I'm hoping that in future the council will go to the senior center during hours of operation and hear from the seniors there about the usage of it kind of thing, because I think that's going to be... That's the real feedback we want to hear, is how they are enjoying their new senior center. And I know that we have certain tracking responsibilities. I believe the city manager is the one who has to track. I'm not sure if it's customer satisfaction or usage, things like that, to comply with the grant.
So. Yeah, 5-year period there. So there are some grant conditions, correct?
Great. Today at the senior center, I was talking to Laurie Miller about that, saying that it's not always possible for some of the seniors to come out in the evening to be part of this public hearing, but right. I hope we can go there and hear their voices directly. Thank you.
Well, Cliff and I deliver Meals on Wheels every other Wednesday, so we're there every other Wednesday, and everything I hear is just bravo. They are so excited about having this new facility, so I just on a personal note, yes. I know that they're very happy with it. Okay, our second item is to authorize the Waterfront Bridges project that we talked about in the work session.
So I'm going to ask Cindy to come up to the lectern again and refresh the council again on the issues that that we're looking for direction on. The first item being the issue of the additional budget to address the bedrock, and also the larger project area. That's the additional footprint around the right-of-ways that are needed to be able to construct the project. And again, the design team has estimated that the project funding for these topics be increased by $1,826,000. Then there is the issue of the rail loading, and if there were a preferred option, I believe from staff, it would be to apply for both the cost estimate for freight loads with ODOT support, with also the cost estimate for the current rail loads. And that would be staff's recommendation to go with that approach. And then lastly, to request a separate project change or request for the 11th Street extension area. That's the trestle, which is to the east of the 11th Street right away. So again, tonight we're looking that council authorize staff to submit the project change order request for ODOT for these items.
Does that just take one motion? There was a lot of things
depends
in there.
How you word it,
I think so too.
One motion would be fine, and it would be, if you look in the recommendation portion
is okay.
Of the memo, the one change, as Cindy had indicated, is that where in the recommendation it says elements of the project that are necessary to design and construct structures to support current rail use, based upon feedback received from an ODOT staff person after distribution, the memo, that we also would include the cost estimate for freight loads with ODOT support, so that there could be a request made for both options.
Okay, so it would probably read to support current rail use as well as freight loads?
Freight, yes.
Okay, the two options.
Would there also be an addition of the seismic upgrades?
So the seismic can be included in the bedrock and
okay.
that additional line item. So it'd be for the bedrock, the additional footprint, and also the seismic would be included in that bunch of elements.
I'll just add that the table that I showed with the different cost estimates, we had our first column, and that was our existing funding. All the other options included the seismic and the increased project area and the deeper bedrock. So that was throughout those other three options.
Okay, good. Any comments from the council before we take a vote?
Nope.
Okay. Somebody want to make a motion?
I move that the council authorize staff to submit a project chain request to ODOT for additional funding for the deep bedrock elements of the project that are necessary to design and construct structures to support current rail use, as well as a proposal to support freight loads, and a separate project change request for the 11th Street Extension area.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Good. Okay. The third item is a liquor license application from Thomas and Elena Sharon.
This is a liquor license application for the Capricorn Pub and Fine Dining. This would be an application for a change of ownership and greater privilege for an on-premises sales commercial establishment and caterer license. The site is located at 1040 Commercial Street, and this is formerly the Blue Ocean Thai restaurant, which is located on the north side of Commercial Street between 10th and 11th. City departments reviewed the application and no objections were noted. It's recommended that council consider the application for approval.
Any comments?
I would declare a potential conflict of interest, as my husband is an owner of Cerveza Gratis doing business as Fort George Brewery. However, I do not believe it's a direct conflict, and so I will be voting.
I was wondering, maybe Councilor Nemovil will know, where did the term growler originate for those?
Children used to be sent with buckets to go fetch beer, and when the beer was sloshing back and forth, they thought that it sounded kind of like it was growling, and so somehow the name growler originated from children going and fetching beer. My, how times have changed.
See what you learn at city council meetings.
Thank you, Councilor Nimble.
Okay, anyone want to make a motion?
Yes, Ms. Mayor, I would move that the city council approve this application.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. And the last item on the agenda is the Pipeline Road Transmission Main Resiliency Study Grant. And I believe that Jeff Harrington's going to be presenting on this.
Yes. And while Jeff is moving up to the lectern, I just want to provide a little bit of an introduction to this item. The Oregon Infrastructure Finance Authority has offering grants in the amount of $20,000 to conduct resiliency studies for important infrastructure. Jeff is going to be making a presentation on pre-disaster resiliency issues associated with infrastructure and introduce the proposed project. This is going to be kind of a new topic that's going to be introduced, and we hope to be able to be doing more of these projects in the near future as a part of pre-disaster planning. At the end of the presentation, it's recommended that council authorize staff to proceed with the submittal of a letter of interest and application for the $20,000 grant. So, Jeff, if you would.
Okay.
I'll try to, there's a lot of material to cover, so I'll try to move through it quickly. If there's any questions, please stop me. So this resiliency grant here is offered through the Infrastructure Finance Authority, IFA. It's actually their sustainability grant program. The category that we're applying for is resiliency studies. The grant amount is $20,000, possibly more. One of the target communities here is small water districts. We're not a small water district, but we serve five small water districts. So when I introduced that concept, they thought maybe we can get two grants, so we might get 40. What we're going to do is we're going to match that with, there's no required match, but we match it with city staff time. It's due April 15th. The purpose is to assist water system planning that promotes sustainable water infrastructure. This is kind of a result of state efforts to promote resiliency in light of the Cascadia subduction zone earthquake risk factors. This year, I'll probably be aware, the state produced a Oregon resiliency plan in 2013. After that, the Division of Department of Land Conservation and Development commissioned a work group responsible for developing a resiliency framework for Clatsop County, which provides guidelines for achieving community resilience, and I was a member of that committee. Some of the highlights of the studies is that there obviously very large earthquakes will occur in Oregon's future. We've been very fortunate. If you look at the recent earthquake distribution mapping, you'll see that the east side of the Pacific Ocean is just getting pounded, or the west side, I'm sorry, and we're just skating by without much impact. It's kind of amazing. But there was a rather, I think it was a 4.6 yesterday off the Cascadia subduction zone. As far as resiliency, being resilient to the impacts of the Cascadia earthquake and tsunami, we're far from it today, very far from it. Our state's infrastructure will remain poorly prepared, and this is out of the state resiliency plan, to meet the threats unless action's taken to start building necessary resilience. And just as an example, Japan and Chile were able to restore power and communications in about 2 weeks. It's estimated that our coast is going to take 3 to 6 months to restore electricity and 1 to 3 years to restore drinking water and sewer. We will be talking about water, of course, and that our project is a water project, so that's the one to emphasize the water issue. Just for a little bit of background, the resiliency, climate change, sustainability, and emergency management, all those terms are separate but interwoven. They all affect each other. As you build resilience, you can respond better to emergencies. Sustainability is, you know, referred to, you know, when you talk about being sustainable, having resilience is kind of a similar thing. And of course, climate change is imposing factors on our environment that are affecting the level at which we have to be resilient to. So I won't read each one of those. They're pretty common now. The terms have been around enough. Everybody kind of understands. Some examples of things that we've done, though, as far as climate change, is we have done a preliminary screening of all of our infrastructure to assess impacts, and we factor that into our day-to-day work. And then for sustainability, we've, you know, got hydroelectric, we've got our Forest Stewardship Council program that we maintain, and we've done a lot of recycled material work. We've built roads out of recycled material and other things like that. Resiliency goals overall, public education and outreach, of course, strengthening systems for organizing response and preparing for disasters, effective connection between the community and external agencies that can aid the community. That topic is kind of up in the air now. We know not a lot of resources are going to be able to come and help us because our roads aren't going to be intact. If it's going to come, it's going to come by air or by ship. And then pertinent to us as the Public Works Department is providing infrastructure to help mitigate against landslides, strong winds, floods, and earthquakes. That's what we do, and we do a lot of that. And a lot of our work, whether it's erosion on the riverbank or a waterline failing from a landslide or just regular slides, that's part of our daily work now. So what can we do? I say that the best we can do is what we have to work with. You know, we have very limited resources. So going after grants like this, even though it's a small amount, is the first step in getting the process rolling. We try to incorporate resiliency planning into all of our projects, all of our master plans. If anybody attended the transportation system master plan update, you know that resiliency was spoke of a lot. Our master plans, our water, sewer, these other master plans, do not have that in there because they're older documents. When they're updated, it will be incorporated in. There will be a chapter on resiliency. All this work that'll come out of this grant will go into our water master plan update at some date. Identifying risk, local risk, and of course our largest local risk is weakened ground conditions from landslides, and most importantly, seismically induced landslides. What have we done? Just some examples of some of the things we've done to increase resiliency is redundant telemetry. Our telemetry is the computer program that allows us to monitor conditions at all remote sites, whether it's the dam or a pump station. So in case our main equipment goes down at our public works yard, we have a redundant system. It was put into a seismically retrofitted building that we had grant money to do as part of our reservoir cover projects, if you guys recall that. Incorporated seismic hardening in any new projects. A good example is the new bridges we're building, the 17th Street dock, things like that. Everything is built to current standards, seismically hardened to withstand Cascadia subduction zone earthquake. We're always thinking and preparing for eligible projects. We were ready for this one. We knew money was coming, and we've been thinking a lot about it. Incorporate dewatering systems to reduce landslide potential. One of the things we talked to the state, Dogami, the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries, about is what we can do to reduce landslide potential. And one of those things is every CSO project that we've done, to the extent possible, we've incorporated dewatering systems into the bottom of the trenches to take as much water out, you know, reduce the groundwater level as much as possible to reduce the risk of landslides. And the 8th Street slide will be a good one to watch and see how it helps slow that down if it does. And then screening vulnerability of infrastructure to climate change, and that's all been done. Two important points on our water system is we have a non-mechanical, we have a sand filter system. That gives us a lot of resiliency after a large earthquake. We don't have equipment and buildings that are going to fall apart at every joint. We have sand filters that somebody can get up there and fix a pipe and get them running again. Same thing with our sewage treatment plant. We have a pretty much non-mechanical sewage treatment plant. As long as a tsunami does not damage it too much, we should be able to get that back online with minimal effort. One of the things we had to do is prioritize. The state's priorities are water, transportation, and communication. Since we don't own our communication system, I threw wastewater in there. Wastewater is very important because preventing contamination of the public waters for public health is critical after a seismic event and a tsunami. And then, of course, restoring sewer so people can start using their sewer again. Water is very important because after an event, you need drinking water, and of course, you need firefighting capabilities. And then transportation, emergency response initially, and then, of course, restore transportation routes to serve emergency management after the event. So we're starting with the most important, and that's the water system. Priority one would be, or would have been, the main dam at the Bear Creek. That's currently, as you know, going through a seismic study. We're waiting for those results. We should have those, or we will have those in June. So we're hoping for a clean bill of health from the state on the seismic capacity of that dam. It appears like it's a lot stronger, embedded into more basalt rock than we ever could have imagined. So that'll either be put to rest, or it will become our number one priority. Because if it needs to be retrofitted, the state's going to mandate that we do that at some point. Second priority is this transmission main, and that is the project that we are going to ask for the grant for. We have 12 miles of 21-inch concrete cylinder pipe running from Bear Creek Dam to town, to our two in-town reservoirs, constructed in 1963 to 1964. Our water system master plan identifies it as adequate through 2050. Therefore, no replacement project was identified in our capital improvement plan for the water system. And this is a very important note, because this goes to show that when you don't consider resiliency, something that's a low priority, I mean, something can be a low priority. When you factor in resiliency, it can become a very high priority. Because the pipe's good, there's no problem with it, except it's surrounded by landslides. And that's where the resiliency factor comes in. And then, of course, priority number three would be the city reservoir. So the idea would be we have water at our dam, we can get it to town, and then when we get it to town, we have a place to put it. People can access it. Some of our distribution lines will still be intact. We can still fight some fire. We can still try to repair those lines and get that restored as soon as possible. So when you see back to that, you know, water being restored in 1 to 3 years, we want to be down in a few weeks. That's our goal. And we're pretty far from being there. But this is the first step in getting there. So this is the main. It's 12 miles long, like I said. And this is city in town. This is the two reservoirs. This is Bear Creek. Every one of these outlines is a landslide. So you can see there's stretches here where we have nothing to worry about. There's stretches here where we have a lot to worry about. So the idea is to, and I have a scope here of what the project will include, identify possible routes. How do we reroute this line to be away from those landslides? If you can't get away from it, you go underneath it. You go deep enough to not be affected by the slip plane. Identify potential risk for each route. Estimate the length and cost of standard construction, and then what we call directional boring, or boring the pipe underneath. Identify needed easements, stakeholders, including the outlying service districts, customers, potential impacts. Identify future work needed for finalization of the pipeline alignment. Real quick, this is my last slide here. This is one project that we did a few years ago where this is the outline of a landslide, took out our pipeline, and we had to reroute around the backside of the landslide. So we were very, very fortunate that was covered by Office of Emergency Management funds that came down through FEMA. But that kind of money is not always going to be there, so we need to be a little more proactive. So to kind of sum it up, the idea is that we take this line that's very vulnerable today, we plan for where it needs to be, what kind of materials it needs to be made out of, welded HDPE, a pipe that can't just fall apart at every joint, and we have a plan in place so that when resiliency money for construction comes along, we're in a position to say, hey, here's our project we want money for, and we can apply quickly and get that money for construction.
Okay, so you would not reuse the 21-inch pipes that you have right now? You'd be using some other material?
Yeah, we'd go to, it's pretty standard practice to go to a welded plastic. And just another example, I was just at a presentation where the Eugene Water and Electric Board, they have two transmission mains that go from their water supply to town. They just put a third one in for resiliency. We have one, this line, you know, like you saw earlier, was put here in 1963. The one before that was probably in really bad shape. This one's in fairly decent shape. The material's good. Just like I was saying earlier, the plan, our capital improvement plan, says that it's good through 2050. And it is, as long as we don't have an earthquake or another landslide. Some of these landslides don't need an earthquake. They are activated by high groundwater, heavy rainfall, and the forces of gravity. But what I'm hearing from the state is that all of the Dogamia susceptible landslide areas are probably the footprint of the Cascadia event. So they're saying with a full magnitude Cascadia earthquake, every one of those slides has the potential of reactivating and moving.
Would it be worthwhile to leave this where it is and put in an entirely new pipeline to provide redundancy?
Yeah, this line would stay in place while a new one was constructed, because we'd have to have water to town. And then it could be, because of the fact, okay, when this was put in 63, the old line was probably in horrible shape, and we said, you know, we have to abandon it. If this one's still in good shape, we could leave it in as a redundant line. Mm-hmm. Understanding that it's got limitations.
May I also maybe get Jeff to maybe provide a little bit more clarification? The purpose of this grant is to do the analysis to determine what the appropriate steps would be, whether that is, you know, a redundancy through a new line, yeah. You know, what location would it go in? It would be digging into those types of details.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's essentially the next slide, Ian, isn't it, the next slide?
That's the scope that we've worked out. So this is the scope that we have a consultant that we're talking to. This is the scope that they would do, and then staff would be doing a lot of work too. We'd probably do another, you know, 10 to 20 of our own time to go along with this. for a very good report that will be incorporated into our next master plan.
Would $20,000 be able to cover this?
That scope is written around only having $20,000.
And Jeff, would this come from the Bear Creek Dam? You would still be looking at a resiliency pipeline from Bear Creek Dam into Astoria? I ask that only because I hear from people who live out in Napa and Brownsmead, why does Astoria even bother with that dam? It's going to fall apart the first tiny little thing. Why don't you get your water, just run a little pipeline from Napa? Do you ever look at that?
We supply water to town and then to five outlying districts.
Yeah.
And then of course, like for example, this last summer with the shrimp processing and Pacific Seafood being here, I think we got up to what, about 4 million gallons a day. That's not going to come from Napa. I'm sorry, whoever mentioned that didn't know the numbers, but that's a very large number. And to produce that, our sand filters, our filtration plant has to be at optimum capacity.
And I think Councillor Price, one of the things that we're also learning, we're not at the completion of the seismic study for the dam, but it's appearing as though that we may be in better shape than we had initially thought with regards of having that dam survive a large seismic event.
Yeah.
Just for clarification there, the Bear Creek Dam is essential to our reservoir, isn't it? I mean,
We have other reservoirs up there, but that's the main reservoir.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And that's where the hydroelectric has gone in as well.
Yeah. Came up.
So I don't think we want it off the dam just yet. So.
Okay. Could we have a motion?
Well, I move that the council authorize staff to proceed with the submittal of a letter of interest and a formal application to IFA for an estimated amount of $20,000.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you, Jeff. New business, anyone from the citizenry wish to comment tonight? You all want to go home and go to bed. Okay. We're going to recess then to executive session and regarding real property transactions. Thank you all for coming.